to call the meeting to order at 2:32 now PM. Welcome and thank you all for joining us. First, are there any public comments before we go to the minutes? Great. Hearing none, we'll move on to the approval of minutes. The November 9th minutes were included in the packet that Devin sent out. Did everyone get a chance to review those? Are there any changes?
I'll move to approve. This is Jennifer.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Paul.
Thank you, Paul. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Thank you all. So moving right along, our first order of business today is the Partner Match Restructure and BRCC Alternatives presentation and discussion. And I'll turn that over to Liv.
Thank you. Bonnie or Devin, did you want to chime in, or do you want me just to start in with our presentation?
I think you can go ahead and start with your presentation.
Devin, do you want to give everybody that may not know a little background about why we're doing this?
Yes, I think Lib, you kind of add that in your slide, so I'll just give a very broad overview that at the very tail end of the TDP development, BRCC brought to our attention that some of their operations look a little bit different post-pandemic, so they just wanted to be diligent and cognizant of those changes to reflect a better service schedule for the routes. Those routes were pre-pandemic, and they're one of the longest routes in the service system. So we took a look at looking at some alternatives that better reflects that need based on ridership and time of day. And in doing that process, we also took a look at the partner match formula that those local funds are matched for the federal and state funds that we receive. So we had inherited a formula from Virginia Regional Transit and CATS. And I know the 2015 TDP took a look at maybe altering that formula, but other service alternatives popped up during the time frame. Everyone was comfortable with the formula from that time, but it was a good time to take a look and reevaluate that formula for a little bit more transparent and equitable formula moving forward. So Lib was able to take a look at that for us. So we had a subcommittee of Anastasia, Jennifer Wetzel, and Dr. Downing kind of vet through what Lib came up with, and I think what we came up with should please everyone. So I'll let Lib take it from there because she goes into it a little bit more.
Okay, thanks, Devin. All right, I'm going to share my screen, hopefully with success. Okay, can everyone see it? What's up there now?
Yes.
Okay, great. So that's a familiar scene here. But so today we're talking about the BRCC service options and the local funding discussion. I think that we already know that. Okay. So as Devin was mentioning, the BRCC shuttles really have a tremendous number of service hours. They start early in the morning and they don't end until, you know, into the evening. And over the past few years, the demand for service has been reduced. There's been lower enrollment over the past several years, and there's more students taking classes online. And of course, the pandemic threw all colleges into chaos. So really, demand has been lower for the service, particularly in the evening. And as part of the TDP, we did VRTD counts for us, and this is what it looks like time of day. So you can see those evening hours are just not being well used at all. So to me, that's kind of low hanging fruit. At the moment, VRT is having trouble getting drivers. BRCC doesn't see the demand for this service in the evening. So to me, it seemed obvious that maybe this would be the thing to do, is to maybe cut it. And as you can see, the ridership is really based at BRCC, but you can see this is ridership by stop, or activity by stop. it's all over the place. You know, there's as well, it's a well-used service with the ENDS having the most number of trips, and of course BRCC in the middle there also. So this is what it looks like in terms of ridership by stop for the BRCC. South is the one that goes from Stanton to the school, and then the BRCC North is the one that goes from the school up to the Harrisonburg and JMU area, and then also serves Bridgewater, Mount Crawford, and Dayton on the way back. So these are the options. The first option was to maintain both the routes so we don't sever that connection to Harrisonburg, but we just reduced the hours to reflect more of the demand. So we really cut quite a few hours off by ending it at 6 o'clock for the north and 5:30 p.m. for the south. Just, and that's just because of the way they're scheduled in terms of what time it ends. That's a cycle time. So we go from a cost of $384,719 is the new proposed cost, down from $600,000 basically. So it's a pretty big reduction in cost, over $200,000, and we're saving 2,700 hours just about. So that's the first option. The second option is to do that, to reduce the hours and cut the BRCC north. And that's a little bit drastic because you're cutting off everything to the north there, but you can see the savings are tremendous, almost $400,000 in savings if you did that. So the committee really reflected option one. It reflects the demand for service, as you could see from that graph we showed you earlier about when people are riding. And it also still maintains the connection to Rockingham County, Harrisonburg, and JMU for students and for other riders. And also the committee expressed interest in soliciting additional partnerships for the BRCC North to reflect the service area. Because as you know, while we have service in Rockingham County and Harrisonburg and JMU area, for there aren't any partners from those areas. So that's something to keep on the table for the future. So do you have any questions about that? That was kind of the first thing, because we had to kind of figure out, well, how much is 2024 going to cost before we can talk about how to divide up the costs. So the recommendation was to reduce the hours by cutting the evening hours on both the north and south. Okay, so that's BRCC options. And then the next thing, and this is a kind of a larger can of worms, really, and that's the idea of developing a local funding formula. As Devin mentioned, the amounts that everyone gave was really inherited, and it was working for the system, and nobody really wanted to open that can of worms because it, you know, it is a little delicate to figure out who should pay what. And so I did some research and looked at really some factors to consider when thinking about changing the formula. And the general factors are equity, which constituents benefit from the transit program, agency funding availability. This really recognizes that some partners have funding limitations that are tied to their client base, like WWRC and DSS. There's only but so much they have. So it doesn't, you know, if you tell them to pay $200,000, it's really not practical if they don't have it. Public funding availability. And this is really for the governmental partners. Their contributions are part of the larger governmental budgets with many public needs, so there's considerations there. And then also public spending philosophies, whether it's higher taxes, more services versus lower taxes, fewer services, and each jurisdiction may have different philosophies about that. So these are the kind of things that you have to think about when looking at a formula. And then the really more specific things to consider are the complexity. It shouldn't be too complicated. You shouldn't need to know a bunch of algebra. It should be fairly straightforward to figure out, you know, who should pay what. Control. This is important in my mind, in that the amounts per partner should not be based on factors that are out of the control of the system. For instance, ridership, because you really don't have any control over who's going to get on the bus and where they're going to get on. So you don't really have control over that. Sustainability. Are the amounts per partner sustainable into the future? Do they have funding to sustain whatever the amount is that's assigned to them? And then contingency. There should be some kind of contingency fee built in for local match and for emergencies, and so that Bright can respond if there's an opportunity for them to, say, buy a parking lot or, you know, things that may come up. So that's what we considered. So then this is the basic steps that we followed. First, we figured out, this is based on service hours. How much does each route require in terms of local match? And then we took a stab at assigning the partner splits, and we talked about this a few times about which routes serve which constituents and how they should be split up, and we'll go over that in a minute. And then a contingency fee was added to those splits. So this is what each route requires in terms of the number of hours that's assigned to them. And this, for the people on the committee, this has changed slightly because I had done the base using the FY21 hours. And for FY24, when we took out the calendar and really did it the right way, like looking at every holiday and everything like that, the hours came out a little bit higher. So this is slightly different. It doesn't change the local match much at all, but it does change the bottom line number of hours by a little bit. So you can see which routes consume what percentage of the total for the services provided. And then the next step, so then we get a number of how much money does that represent. Those total 31,855 service hours require a bottom line match of $294,411 from the partners. And this is quite a bit lower than in previous years because of that portion of the lease that's assigned to the Bright service. So as you know, CSPDC has recently leased out the top of the building, the facility building, to Augusta Health, as they had previously done. Only this time, it's really quite a lot of money. It's like $79,200 a year. So that's been split up between contingency, the Afton Express, and the Bright service. So the $62,000 is considered local match here. So that comes right off that local amount. So the bottom line is, you know, just under $300,000 to be divided among the routes. So this is what it looks like on the local match needed to support each of the routes using those percentages that were a few slides back. So you can see the 250 connector requires the most highest level of local match. So that's what it looks like, how much is needed for each one. So the next thing is to think about, well, which constituencies should be responsible for providing local match for each of these services. So that's where it gets, I'm not going to leave this up there for a minute. So this is where it gets a little tricky. So some of the logic that went into this is that the 250 connector, pretty much everybody uses that, with the exception of BRCC students do use it, but it's not exclusive to them. So we divided that pretty much between everyone except for SDDA and BRCC. So we have six partners for that route. And then the BRCC services we divided, as you can see, between Augusta County, Augusta Health, BRCC, and the City of Stanton. And the same with the South, but we also added DSS, as there's a need for DSS clients to get to the county services that are located along that route. For the Stanton loops, we split them two-thirds Stanton, one-third Augusta Health. For the Stanton trolley, we did two-thirds Stanton, one-third SDDA. For Stewart's Draft, we split that between Augusta County and Augusta Health. For the Waynesboro circulator, we split it between two-thirds Waynesboro and then one-third split between Augusta Health and the DSS, as the DSS is located on that route. And then the access services, that's the ADA paratransit services that support the fixed routes. And so we split that again between the six players, the same six as the 250 connector. So this is the basic premise that we used. And I know it probably doesn't matter much until you see the numbers, right? Like how much money, but this is basically what the logic was behind the splits. So the next thing you do is to figure out, apply to the amount needed, and then add the contingency. So you can see for most people, given that we need a lower match this year, basically everyone's gone down except for SDDA went up a little bit. I think that's the only one, and the county went up a little bit. So that's what it looks like. Are there questions yet, or do you want to wait till the end? Okay. So the next step is making a final decision for the BRCC routes. Is this acceptable? And then I'll go for public input to make sure that everything's okay with doing that. And then consensus on this funding formula. If you want to look at something else, we certainly can do that. And then once all that consensus is achieved, we can finish the final TDP that's now in draft stage. So I'm going to leave this up here for a minute. Can everyone see it? So I think I just want to open up to questions. Questions, anything on logic or happy, unhappy, need more work? What do you guys think?
To break the ice, I will add that since SDDA did go up a little bit, John, I don't know if you can speak to this now or if this would be a good idea for the city, but since you all are going down, I don't know if it would be possible for you all to pitch in to kind of cover that extra additional cost, or just know that they might be asking for more money from you all in their budget. I don't know which one works better for you all, but I know Jennifer was fine with Augusta County going up since she saw the development of the formula, but I didn't know if between the two of you all you could kind of cover that extra cost, which is basically made up of the contingency, that 10%.
Well, I'm sure Greg and Leslie and I will get together and talk about this. Don't foresee any issue with that.
Okay.
Okay, anything else? Oh, I can stop. I'll stop sharing. Further questions? That was just too easy. That worries me.
I don't have any questions. This is Jennifer. I know that we've been with the same funding mechanism structure for many, many years, and it has come up over time as to if we could formalize it in some capacity. So this is the first that we've tried to do it, and it has some kind of logical sense to it at this point. It can be revisited over time as, you know, entities change or routes change, things of that nature. In fact, it might need to be revisited every year in order to come up with the new amount that everybody would have to fund for that particular year. So I'm very comfortable with it, if others are. As far as the routes and cutting the evening service, I think that's the first attempt to restructure those routes, and we'll try to work with our partners to the north to see if they can fund things. There are students and citizens that may be coming from Rockingham, Harrisonburg to Blue Ridge or to Stanton or Augusta area to work. So it's kind of like, we'll start with the evening hours, and then if something doesn't work out in the future and we need to revisit it for the northern end, we could do it at a later date. So I'll make a motion to move forward with the funding formula as presented, and which would be for our FY24 budget.
Mm-hmm.
And then also to restructure the hours by eliminating the evening hours on the route, the RCC route.
I'll second.
Thank you, Jennifer and John. Any more discussion before we have a full vote?
I just wanted to add one thing, just playing off of what Jennifer mentioned. The amount will change every year, but it'll be based on those splits that we talked about in terms of each route having between two and six partners going forward. So the example that was shown was a real example for this coming year, FY24, with real numbers after looking at all the hours. So what'll happen each year is when the CSPDC is preparing the budget for the upcoming year, they'll look at the hours and apply those splits that we talked about and arrive at a new number, which likely won't be terribly drastic from what we just talked about, unless someone was adding, a new service or something like that. So I just wanted to add that in, that these amounts are not really what we're talking about. What we're talking about is the actual formula and the splits between the partners for the routes. I just want to clarify that. Thank you, Jennifer, for bringing that up.
Any other questions or discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Great. Thank you very much. So thank you all for your hard work on that, the small group that met to get this together. Great presentation.
Yes, extra kudos to Jennifer and Anastasia for helping us, and Lib especially for crafting a easy to follow rubric that we can move forward with.
And can you send the slides after?
Oh yes, certainly.
Great, thank you.
So next on the agenda for new business, we have the transit development plan being released for public comment. And I think that Devin and Lib are gonna handle this, kind of tag team this part together.
Lib, did you want me to share my screen with the new Chapter 6 financial?
Yes, that's a good idea. Do I have to do anything? Are you?
You can start talking. Or actually, no, I think I can do most of it.
Oh, no, I was just talking about screen sharing thing.
Oh, the screen sharing. Oh, I can stare.
Got it. It's right in front of us. I can start. I just wanted to say we updated the financial plan within the last week or so to reflect that, as I mentioned during my presentation, we had the hours off a little bit. If you look at these hours right here, FY 2024, which is what we started everything with, we had it a little bit low. We had a total of 31,000 hours, and the total is actually 31,855. So we redid this chapter to reflect that. So you probably wouldn't even notice if you read it because it's pretty minor. But we just wanted to bring it up and make it clear that we have changed things slightly. So the hours are slightly different. And then the 31,855 then carries through financially with how much things cost. And then also with the revenue, which we already kind of went over with the, in those local match slides. But I just want to bring that to your attention that has changed slightly.
And that was the only change we made, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe a little bit of language. This is a little bit updated. The BRCC hours, I had estimated like a 15 minutes. I had used 15 minutes instead of 10 minutes in calculating the hours. So the hours actually went down a slightly bit more with the new hours. So it was just very minor stuff. You know, like when you get out the calendar and really look closely where the holidays are and stuff like that, like, oh, we should make it as good as we can make it since we actually know these things for 24. So that's what we did. It gets a little more nebulous in the out years because you don't know exactly if you're going to be able to do these projects as you planned. So we just have to make sure we're correctly, everything's good for year one, and then you can adjust moving forward.
Yeah, I'll just note that each year after the TDP is adopted, we do go back and do an update letter, or DRPT might be changing that to a meeting rather than an update letter, but we do update it every year to reflect any type of changes, like if we didn't get to a project or we want to move a project up in the timeline, we're able to do that and adjust those numbers to a more tighter number than just that nebulous number that kind of comes in the 2030s.
The planning estimate.
So yeah, that was the only change. So we decided to just show you all that minor edit and open it up for discussion for the overall TDP, if there were any large changes or anything that you saw that didn't jive. But like Lib said, most of it you had seen in the meetings. There was just extra text in that 160 some page document that I sent you all earlier. So if you all don't have any big changes or edits, the process will be for you all to recommend the transit development plan to go to the CSPDC Board of Commissioners, who is the overarching body of BRIGHT, and they would release it for public comment for 21 days. And after that 21-day public comment period, as long as there are no major changes from the public, then that would be adopted at the CSPDC Board of Commissioners February meeting, and then it would all be done. All your work for the past year and a half will be zipped up tight.
I move that we release it for public comment.
Second.
Great. Thank you all. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Great. Thank you guys for all your hard work and for everyone's input over the whole process.
Devin, I'll have to get you a revised copy that has that chapter inserted into the full document.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, and then I will put that out for public comment. That'll be posted on our website. We'll post a notice in the paper, and we'll follow all of those guidelines in the public participation plan that we follow with SAW and PO.
Thank you, Devin and Liv. I guess we'll move on to other business now. Steve, I think you had something for other business that you wanted to bring to the group.
Oh, Steve, you muted.
So y'all can't read lips. So I just sent out the email blast about the weather, which just snuck upon us. But along those lines, as you know, the municipalities and stuff have had people retire and move on and, you know, find their true passions and all of those things that go on. I've kind of lost contact with like the cities and stuff about road construction and things of those nature. So if you think that's something I need to know, I'd certainly just appreciate, you know, to have an email or something. Along those lines, that we just migrated to an email system which had no contacts in it. So I've got all kind of new space for new contacts. So it just kind of makes us a little quick on our step, quick to respond and stuff too. So, you know, road construction is going to be closed 2 hours, whatever that is. So it kind of goes along with the weather as well. I'm getting weather reports and things like that. But, ever relative to operations tomorrow and beyond. So, and my email is simple. It is steve@vatransit.org. That's all lowercase, one word, vatransit.org. And I just reach out and I'll respond to you and we'll get you on some kind of list. So,
perfect. Thank you,
Steve, would you be opposed to being on our list if we send out updates?
No, I've been on some, so I've gotten, you know, like a few years ago, I probably got 911 reports and, you know, things of that nature. I get stuff like that, and it's useful. It's, you know, cannot rely on Channel 3 for all the misinformation. It's nice to have several different entities to kind of compare and make a best guess. So,
okay.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yep.
Thank you, Steve. Any other questions for Steve?
Steve, what are the plans for tomorrow with the weather forecast?
I think the plans are it's going to be some kind of frozen precipitation falling out of the sky. So I'm kind of leaning towards, you know, making the call on the Afton Express this evening because it's, since, you know, it's bookend, so there's nothing in the middle. It's not like, you know, opening late on that would benefit anybody. Yeah. And I'm really looking at it, you know, a 2 to 3 hour delay in the morning. But this thing is supposed to just carry on till 1 o'clock or so in the afternoon for bright. So, but that's my thought. I think Devin and I are going to get together after this and kind of nail out. But I think there'll definitely be some kind of delay. I mean, I'm getting it from, like I said, Peter Lamb and other folks like that and the National Weather Service and stuff. So the amount and stuff. It's kind of irrelevant. I always tell people it takes this much snow to ski on. So the real factor is losing traction, not by how much. It's just, you know, so.
Well, be careful out there.
We will. You want me to call you for you? Okay.
Six. You call it six.
Is there any other business for today that anyone would like to bring to the group?
I would just like to thank Liv and Devin for tracking this and making this happen on really short notice so that it could be reflected in the TDP. I think it's a job well done. So thank you guys, ladies.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you all for making it easy. We thought you might have a little bit more discussion on that, but... That was an easy breezy meeting. Well,
if there's no other, yes, thank you all very much. A great funding partner match formula. So for us to move forward with. There's no other discussion, then we will adjourn our special meeting at 3:02. And our next meeting is January 11th, which will be here before we know it. So happy holidays to everyone. I'll see you in the new year.
Thank you all so much.
Happy holidays.
Bye.
No.
Recording stopped.
Thanks, Lib.
Kevin, I just want to tell you something funny. Okay. This cat's been bugging me.
Oh, I saw him in the very corner.
Do not leave me alone. But the other thing was that it's funny that meeting went so